decided to put it into printed form so that we could cover a lot of ground in a shorter period of time than going through and looking up each of these passages of Scripture. So that's why this is put this way. It's not for publication and all of that. Too much, a lot of work would have to be done. But it certainly is okay for our purposes here and working through. And I want to finish this up because next Tuesday night is pivotal. It's very important in an intimate relationship with Christ. And what we're in the midst of looking at is knowing Christ and having a relationship with Him. A lot of Christians do not really have an intimate relationship with the Lord. A lot of them have an intimate relationship with law. A lot of them have an intimate relationship with the written word, and just a lot of different things. But what God is seeking from us is a personal, intimate relationship with each of us. This is what He wants. This is His objective. And we're going to note a lot of this. And as I said, when we finish this part, next Sunday, the transition of what we're going to cover next is very important. What we're looking at in the first thing that we noted about Jesus Christ is I wanted to start not where we would start if we were dealing with a lot of unbelievers, and that is as your Savior, but I wanted to start off with Jesus Christ as God, and therefore Jesus Christ as deity. And what we're looking at, there are some of the things that we can find that Jesus Christ is God, but here's my objective, and this is where I want to close up tonight. I don't want you just to know that Jesus Christ is God. I want you to know that, of course, and believe that. But I don't want you to know it and believe it just so you'll be on the right side of an argument. Because there are a lot of people that know and believe, not a lot, there are a number of people on planet Earth that do believe that Jesus Christ is God. Not even all people who call themselves Christians believe that. But there are a number of people, a small number if we talk about the population of the earth, that believe and know that He is God. But my point is, so what? I do that in a lot of my study right now. So what? What difference does it make to you that Jesus Christ is God? What difference does it make to you? Let me word it this way. What difference would it make today in your life, in your marriage, in your single life, in your church, in your work, every area of your life, what difference would it make if He were not God? Would it matter? And that's what I want to look at as we go through this, and that's been my objective. And we have noted, first of all, Jesus Christ is God. One, He is the Son of God. And therefore, and that's the first page, and if you don't have it, they're all right up here. I just don't want to take our time to pass them out, but I do want you to have them if you want them to read, look at the passages, think about it, and pray. Jesus Christ is God in reference that He is the Son of God. If He is the Son of God, therefore He is God, and we dealt with that. Then secondly, we noted that divine attributes, in other words, those things that are attributed to God are also attributed to the person of Jesus Christ. And we have a handout for that one. Then, 3 and 4, very close together, and we have both of these in another handout section. And 3 is, Jesus Christ is Messiah, and if He is Messiah, He is God. And we took up some passages that dealt with that important issue. And closely related to that, Jesus Christ is the Savior. And if He is the Savior, He is God. Because this one is essential. This one is extremely important. Because God said, I and I alone will save. If He is not the Son of God, if He's not God, then one of two things is wrong. Either one, God's a liar, because He needed the creature. Or two, we're not saved. But one of those two things is true, if Jesus Christ is not God. And we spent some time in the spiritual warfare and how this one is essential. Then we looked at Roman numeral 5, and we've already covered Roman numeral 5, and that's the first one these you have on this section. Roman numeral 5, the pre-incarnate work of Jesus Christ reveals that He is God, namely creation. Point 6, also on page 26, the sacred name of God is given to Jesus Christ, and we took that up in the several passages that you have there before you. And let's see, then under page 28, the seventh point, Jesus Christ himself declares that he is eternal, therefore God, and I gave you the passages that are pertinent in that respect. And then Roman numeral 8, declarations in the epistles clearly proclaim Jesus Christ is God. And again, to make my point, what do people do who don't, who believe this book and use this book as their text? What do they do with these passages that blatantly declare he's God? If you start off with the premise, you put a veil in front of you, he is not God. Then, with that veil in front of you, you're not going to see. And this is true throughout all Scripture in a multitude of things. You put that veil over your eyes, how to be saved. You put your veil over your eyes that it's not by simple faith in Christ, then you're not going to see those passages. They will seem to say something else. The Bible is written that way. If you do not want to see that Jesus is God, the man called Jesus is God, then you won't. No matter how blatant a person may say it, you won't see it. So you can have all of these things we're reading. And it's very important because we started this whole thing off with the Lord asking Peter, Who do you say I am? He said, you are the Son of the living God. And he said, good for you, Peter, because you didn't figure that out. That was revealed to you. So these things have to be revealed, illuminated for us in Scripture. So these passages are only passages for us who will allow the Spirit to reveal he is God. Okay? The ninth point, seven times, Jesus Christ is clearly proclaimed as God. I'm still on page 29. 10, he is the Alpha and the Omega. I wanted to put that there. That would take a lot of time if I were in a seminary setting and had to defend that position, that proves that he is God. 11, the definite relationships manifest his deity, and we took up some things in dealing with his relationship. 12 on page 30, prerogatives of deity are attributed to Jesus Christ, his authority and power over demons, forgives sins, raises the dead, these kinds of things, execute all judgment. All these things are just those things that will reveal that he is God. Now, we come to the last one, page 32. This is, we left off at the bottom of the previous page, and now we're ready for the last point here. And then I have one more thing I want to do tonight with you. Okay, this one's very important. And let me just start off by saying this. If he is not God, then we do not worship him. Because we do not worship man. So if he is not God, you can lay aside all worship in your personal life. All the thinking you have of worship toward him, you can lay it aside if he's not God. Because we do not worship man. Scripture is very clear on that. But since he's God, we can worship. All right, let's take a look at it now. Point 13. For this one, we're going to look at Matthew 4:10. And let's start off with the point, worship is given to Jesus Christ and accepted. Now, listen, watch how this thing goes. It is given to Christ and accepted by Jesus Christ as what is due him. He is worshipped and he accepts the worship as due him. The point is that we do not worship mere man. We do not worship any man, but we worship Jesus Christ because he is both God and man. Now, I've given to you in your paper Matthew 4:10. Matthew 4:10 says, then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Exodus 34:14, for you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Now, Luke 5:8, to finish this flow, but when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In other words, he worshiped Jesus Christ, and Christ accepted it. He accepted it as what is due him. Matthew 14:33, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly the Son. You are certainly God's Son." Again, he accepted it. He did not say, "No, you do not worship me." We're going to see, in Revelation, I didn't put it in here, but John's going to want to worship an angel. And the angel's going to say, "No, you don't worship me. You don't worship me." We don't even worship angels, supernatural creatures. We only worship God. And here Jesus Christ accepts this. So if he is not God, then he is blasphemous for accepting this worship. If he is God, then it is what is due him. And the Exodus 34:14 is very important in dealing with God is very strict. You don't worship anyone but God. Period. You don't worship angels. You don't worship man. You don't worship self. You don't worship money. You don't worship anything other than God. So if he's not God, then we can't worship him. Matthew 15:25 on your paper. But he came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Matthew 28:9. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him, and he accepted it. So people, you and I have the privilege and a proper position to worship Jesus Christ, because he's God. All right, for Jesus Christ to accept this worship would have been an act of blasphemy if he were not God. We are to worship him as God, John 5:23, in order that all may honor the Son. That's worship. All may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Worship. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Okay, so here we are to honor, worship Jesus Christ just as we honor and worship God. They're both to be worshipped because they are both God. Hebrews 1:6, the bottom of the page there, even elect angels are to worship him. Verse 6, and what he again brings, and when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. So this becomes very important in my daily life, and I hope in yours. My whole life is a worship of him. So our worship of him is only because he's God. Because he is God, we can worship him. So does it make a difference that Jesus Christ is God? Yes. Every day of our lives, when we come to worship him, in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our life manner, the way we live our life, in a worship of him, he has merited that because he is God. Okay, one more thing I want to give you tonight. What I did, try to go back and pull through here these things, and Jim, here you go. Jim, would you mind passing this out for me, please? Thank you. I tried to pull, not all, but I did try to pull together the ones that would be so obvious and significant, and there are 13 here that I've come up with in the difference that it makes that he is God. It was very interesting while Jim's passing this out. I went to visit Dan Hill in August and told him what we were doing and told him the emphasis. And it was really funny because he said, "I got to have that." He said, "I was just talking to a preacher in another state." He was. And he said, "The guy asked me that very question. What difference does it make to us that Jesus Christ is God?" And they were talking theologically. And so I just started rattling off some of them. So what I'm trying to say is, I don't want you just to know that he is God, people. I want to make a difference in your life. It's such a shame that we have Jesus Christ and all the things that we study about him, but it doesn't make a difference. I want it to make a difference. And if we can learn from this, you'll learn how even in relationships, people, relationships with husband and wife and friends to various degrees, but namely husband and wife, this intimacy is to know all that you can about them, and it makes a difference in your life. If it doesn't make any difference in your life, gives you an idea where your marriage is. It should make a difference. Who that person is. It should make a difference in our intimacy with Jesus Christ. So people say, yes, he is the Son of God, and just, you know, they almost with the tone of ordering a meal. Okay. No, not okay. This is pivotal to our life, that we know him as God. It makes a difference in our daily life, and what I wanted to do was pull together for you these 13 things that come together in the difference that it makes. So Jesus Christ is God, dealing with the deity of Christ, the difference it makes in our daily life, day in and day out in my life, to know him as God. Not just know him in the ways that we're getting ready to know him in other things. And again, next Tuesday is going to be just a very important class. I hope I can present next Tuesday as it is in my soul, because it's an extremely important study that we'll be getting into next Tuesday evening as we go from being God. This is very important, to know him as God, because the next level down, this is very important, that we first of all, in our minds, know him, in our lives, know him as God. Okay. First of all, now what we're looking at, I just pulled together some of the differences it makes in our life, or should make in our life, that Jesus Christ is God. One, it makes a difference in our relationship with God the Father. First of all, that Jesus Christ is God makes a difference in our life, in our daily life, in our daily relationship with God the Father. We trust him, and he declares that Jesus Christ is his Son. If Jesus is not his Son, that is, if Jesus Christ is not deity, then we can no longer trust God the Father. But since Jesus is the Son of God, therefore deity, we have an unfailing trust in God. Now remember what Christianity is, and this will be a springboard for next week. What happens in Christianity, what happens with Christ? You know, we're talking about an intimacy with Christ. But please remember that the cross is designed to take us to God the Father. The Gospels are not a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the book of Revelation. The Gospels are a revelation of God. So it becomes very important in our relationship with God. Secondly, point two, that Jesus is the Son of God, therefore God is vital to our lives, in that if he is not the Son of God, then we are not sons in Christ. We are sons because Jesus is the Son of God. The only reason that you and I are sons of God is because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the only reason. We share his sonship. And if he is not God, if he is not the Son of God, then people scratch all your confidence and all that hope that you and I have that we are sons of God and that he is going to deal with me. What do you do? Let me just tell you what will change. You no longer address your prayers, Heavenly Father, because he's not your Father, if Jesus is not the Son of God. Because the only reason you and I are sons of God, Galatians chapter 4, the only reason that you and I are sons of God is why? Because Jesus is the Son of God, and we are in him. Your whole prayer life ends. It's going to take on a whole new form if Jesus is not the Son of God. Because you have no right to call him Father. You have no right to call him Father whatsoever. We'd call him something else. Mr. God! But we wouldn't call him Father. We would not have that intimacy with him. He's not my Father if Jesus is not the Son of God. But since he is, I have a relationship with God that he's my Father. So therefore, I approach him as my Father. I pray to him as my Father. I deal with him as my Heavenly Father. Not somebody out there. Not somebody else's Father. My Father. Point three. That Jesus is deity makes a difference in our daily lives, because in our lives we war not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 6. That is, our struggle is against the unseen enemies, of angels. Satan and the army of angels, demons, that follow him, and even those demons recognize that Jesus is God and that he has authority over them. Therefore, all of that to say this, therefore, there is a daily confidence in our lives, because remember, our daily life is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. Therefore, in our daily lives, our daily confidence in our lives that our Savior is over all our enemies. And there is nothing that these forces of darkness can do against us that our Savior has not purposely allowed them. Because he is God, he is more powerful. Don't like the way I word that sentence, how we work it. But because Jesus Christ is God, he has authority and power over angels. That's who we war against, people. Ephesians chapter 6 is very clear. We do not war against flesh and blood. We think we do. We think we do. We war against our husbands and wives, and we war against other Christians, and we judge, and we malign, and we tear down, and we attack, and we do all these things against each other. Scripture is very clear. Flesh and blood is not our battle. Our battle is against the unseen world. And once this starts sinking into our mind and our soul and our lives, where the real battle lies, then our faith becomes very strong because, hey, my Savior is God. He is above. He is above all. He is above all these powers. So it makes a big difference in the spiritual warfare. Point four. Okay, let's see what we got. It makes a difference that we trust him in our trusting of God the Father. It makes a big difference that Jesus Christ is God in us being sons of God. Three, the spiritual warfare. It makes a difference that Jesus is God in the spiritual warfare. Four, that Jesus is deity makes a difference in our daily relationship with himself. Is our Savior trustworthy? And we've already seen, he declares that he is God. Therefore, if he is not God, then he is not trustworthy in our lives. We're taking what he says, and we're going to build a relationship based on what he says. And he says, I am God. If he is not God, as many people contend he's not, then in actuality, our relationship with him is over. I can't trust him. If I can't trust him when he says I am God, then I can't trust him anywhere. I'm sorry. Especially when that area comes under siege in my personal life. Since he is God, he is worthy of my trust. Just as God the Father is worthy of my trust because Jesus Christ is God, so my relationship with Christ. Point five is very important. Because Jesus Christ is God, we can know God the Father. People, this is powerful. If he is not God, let me just tell you before you read on, if Jesus Christ is not God, then people, you don't know God the Father. Oh, yeah, I do. No, you don't. If he's not God, you and I do not know. How can I say that? All right, let's read. No one knows the Father but the Son. Jesus Christ himself tells us this. No one knows the Father but the Son. If he is not God's Son, then we do not truly know God the Father. Because he is God, because Christ is God, he can communicate God the Father to us. Any knowledge of God the Father, we will know by the Son of God. Anything that you and I know about the Father, we're going to know about from the Son. If Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, then we do not truly know God. So it makes a big difference in our lives that Jesus is God, for through him we come to know the Father and we come to have relationship with the Father. And boy, let this sink in before next Tuesday night. Let this point sink in. This is the only way you and I know the Father. Because if Jesus Christ is not God, then nobody knows the Father. You can say, well, we have the Bible. Yeah, but what we have in this book about God is revealed to us through the mind of Christ. It's revealed to us through him. I know about God the Father in the Gospels. I know what he's like, and Christ says so. No one knows the Father but through me. So if you want to know the Father, you're going to have to go not to this book. got to go through a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So we have an intimate relationship with God the Father, and I know the Father. I know about Him. I know what He's like, because I know the Son. He is God. And I don't want to say any more on that until next Tuesday night. Okay. Six. If we believe and proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God, then God the Father abides in you and you in God. I should have put the scripture references. That's one thing I noticed tonight. I was going over my notes, but by then it was too close to be here to put it in the computer and get it to Kinko's and get it printed up. But if you have this page where we dealt with these things, you have the verses. All of these are scripturally verified in the scripture you have. I just went through and pulled out some of the major ones. But this one was in 1 John. That if you believe and proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God, then God the Father abides in you and you in God. Again, I didn't realize it until now. Again, that one's going to jump out at us next week. Point seven. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you overcome the world. That's powerful. I thought I overcame the world other ways. Now, people, first thing we're going to see is we've got to know who and what Christ is. We've got to know things about Jesus Christ, and we've got to know Jesus Christ is God. In this case, it means that He's the Son of God. We overcome the world. The world doesn't believe this. The world doesn't believe that Jesus is God, that He is the Son of God. All right, point seven. Or point eight now. If you believe that, that's also in 1 John in these notes we gave out. If you believe that Jesus is Son of God, you have that witness. In other words, and we took up this study and what the witness means, you have that witness, that confidence in you. You have a witness, a confidence, a strength inside of you if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Point nine, because Jesus is the Son of God, you have the life of God the Father. Again, this is out of 1 John. Point 10, what difference does it make that Jesus is God? He's a judge. I know man will set themselves up as your judge. I know Christians will set themselves up as your judge. But in truth, you have only one. What difference does it make that He is your judge? He is the judge of your life. And as I said here, maybe other believers have set themselves up to judge you, but in truth, the only judge you have is Jesus. And since He is God, His judgment will be fair and truthful. That's very important. Because He is God, His judgment will be fair and truthful. And what is the truth? It takes us back to what got us started on this whole deal in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, knowing things about Christ. Jesus Christ is our advocate even now, not even wait till we get to the throne, but dealing with Him as judge now. Okay, Satan stands up and says at the throne, this believer did this, you can't use him. Jesus Christ stands up as our defense attorney. And what is his defense? Innocence? No. No. See, he can't lie. Satan can't lie because all the angels can see. If Satan tries to pull a sham and run somebody down without being true, the angels see. No, you're wrong. But, so he's going to, only thing he's going to say up there is truth. Everything is true that he says. We did the sin. So Christ's defense is not, no, they didn't. No, innocent. His defense is this. I've already borne it. I've already paid for it. Faith closed. That's truthful. And that's going to happen at the judgment seat when we evaluate it. So let's continue here. His judgment will be fair and truthful. Because He is God, He is omniscient. That is, He knows all things and He will reveal all secrets. This is a quote out of Corinthians. He will reveal all secrets, that is, things not open to the eyes of the flesh, but will be revealed at His judgment. Now, what does that mean? Things that are secret? Things that the eye revealed in judgment, and things not open to the eyes of flesh. You know, one of the greatest problems when you judge, and I'll just stay with that, when you judge somebody, You don't know. You don't know what's going on. I dare say you take 99.9% of Christians and have them live their life as a friend, a never-mentioned friend of Samson. How many do you think would have said, there is one of the greatest men in all of history as far as a faith believer? Most Christians would hang him. Hang him. God could never use this guy. Even in his strength, he was weak. Never used. And yet he's in one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. How can that be? No one that commits adultery will inherit the kingdom. David, you're out. And that's just one that I'm talking about. I grew up a whole lot of David's life. The eyes of the flesh can't see what God sees in David, people. See, when we judge somebody, what we're assuming is, I got it all figured out. I got it all figured out. No, all you've got figured out is law. All you've got figured out is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have those two things working for you. Well, I say one, but you have that working for you. The knowledge of the tree of good and evil and law. And by that, you're going to set yourself up as the judge. People don't do that. The judge, Jesus Christ, because he's God, and he's going to judge, he has all the facts. And look what it says. He will reveal. And you know, this is a quote out of Corinthians. He will reveal at the judgment the things not open to eyes of flesh. Those things that reveal all secrets, that is things not open to the eyes of flesh. A man after God's own heart. A lot of Christians would hang him. And I just picked two. We could go through the line of the Messiah. Most Christians would kick out half of the line of the Messiah. Kick them out. People, don't do that. Leave it to him. Trust him. He's God. He's going to be the judge. He is the judge now, and he's going to be the judge at the efficiency rating of believers. Trust him. Don't you do it. Leave it to him. I beg you. Your life will be a lot easier if you just leave it with him. He's God. I'm not God. I don't know. You don't know what sin is? I know what sin is. It's the absence of faith. But I'm not set up to be somebody's judge because I have law. Just leave it. Now, that doesn't mean you condone wrong things, people. It does not mean you condone wrong things. Remember what, we haven't gotten there yet, but spiritual love, all it says about spiritual love, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. It doesn't say it slams everybody who doesn't do righteousness. It doesn't say it judges everybody who does unrighteousness. It doesn't say anything. It says it does not rejoice in unrighteousness. That's a very important point we're going to deal with in love. Spiritual love. Leave the judgment to him. Why? One, God has given it to him, and two, he's God. He knows a lot more than I do. I don't know the secrets in men's heart. I cannot know them by the flesh. So he's going to have to reveal them. So it makes a big difference that Jesus is God. It makes a difference in that he is our judge. He's our defense attorney now. He's going to be our judge at that judgment seat. And also in that same context of judgment at the judgment seat, where there is love, there is no fear. I have no fear. You should have no fear. When you walk in the Spirit by faith, you have no fear that day whatsoever, because love takes away fear. Okay? 11, that Jesus Christ is God is vital to our lives, for if he is not God, then we are not saved. God declares that he and he alone would save without the help of the creature. Therefore, if Jesus is not God, then either our Father is not trustworthy or Jesus is not our Savior. Either way, we're not saved. So it makes a very important deal in my daily confidence of eternal security. He's God. And thank God for it. Every day. 12, what difference does it make that Jesus Christ is God? Our hope of the resurrection. In other words, the power to lift me up from the dead, the hope of the resurrection depends on Jesus Christ being God, having the power and authority to raise us up from the dead. Only God can do that. The law can kill and Satan can kill. He has the keys of death, but Jesus Christ can raise from the dead. He's God. So my hope of the resurrection, your hope of the resurrection, is directly related to Jesus Christ as God. He has the power and authority to raise us up in that day. And the final one, it makes a difference in our lives that Jesus is God, for we can and should worship Him as God. If He were not God, then we do not worship man. But since He is God, we can worship Him as God. So now we can have a life of worship directed toward Jesus Christ. Okay, so what we dealt with in this study, in these things now, we dealt with that Jesus Christ is God. And I want to start right there for the next level of knowing Christ. The next change in coming into to knowing Him and the difference it makes in our life and knowing Him. People, my objective is for you to have a personal relationship with your Savior. Have an intimacy with Him in your life. We want to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's the power of God the Holy Spirit. And as you develop, as we're being transformed into the image of Christ, we have more and more a relationship with Him. The more that we're transformed. Because the more we're transformed, it's like, here's Jesus Christ and here's our character, and as they start blending in, becoming one, and I'm transformed in His image, the intimacy is unbelievable. To people who are married, and as they live their life and become more and more one-mindedness, become more and more alike, more and more blend together. The relationship is deep, intimate. This is being transformed in the image of Christ. Knowing these things about Him, but knowing them where it has an impact in your life, changes the way you deal, not only with Him, with yourself and with others. And to know Him. A lot of Christians do not have an intimate relationship with Him. A lot of Christians have an intimate relationship with the law, and they live in fear, and they live in controlling others. A lot of Christians have an intimate, not a lot, there are those Christians who have an intimate relationship with knowledge. There are a lot of Christians who have an intimate relationship with themselves and what they're doing. But He Himself is out here. I don't want Him out there. He's in you, and He's there for a very important purpose. And you're being transformed into His image. So have that relationship with Him. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that You are. In one hand, Heavenly Father, it could be so deep and impossible to understand. But You're such a God that You have given us the Spirit and have made it so simple if we will just see by faith, if we will receive by faith. And first thing, Heavenly Father, we've examined is that this man called Jesus is Your Son, He's God. He was with You in eternity past. Pray, Father, that we will be ever sensitive to the Spirit's leading in our thoughts, bringing to mind who and what He is as far as His deity. As we go through trials and suffering and prosperities and happiness and boredom, all the things that we go through, the Spirit can bring to our mind vividly our relationship with Jesus Christ as God. Pray, Father, that Your grace will allow us to come back next Tuesday and continue in seeing and understanding. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.